She's high. High FM. Hi, morning everybody. This is Adrian from Crushing on Your Life and welcome to High FM Cooking Corner. So today I'm talking about herbs, trending foods around the world, and inevitably Rosh Hashanah around the corner. So today I'm just going to give a list of some of the herbs and what they're used for. A lot of these herbs are not available here, or you can only get them at specialty stores. But knowing what they are and maybe what their flavors are makes substitution of your herbs easy. So the first one is something called angelica. Now, I've never used it. Maybe there's a baker out there who can tell us about it. It's specifically used for biscuits, cakes, and marmalades, and it comes in a crystal form. The next one, which is one that I actually do use a lot, is anise. It has a licorice-type flavor. You can use the leaves in a salad, or you can have it, you can make anise, when it's ground up, you use it as a spice or a herb in biscuits. And then most people have heard of star anise, which is great in stews, and it just great as also once it's cooked in the stew, you take it out and it makes a beautiful little decoration or garnish on top of the meal you're going to serve. Basil is a very common herb and we all love it. We all know that it goes well with tomato and Italian cooking, but it actually goes well with a lot of other things. And one of those things is eggplant. So I have a small little eggplant recipe here. Very easy to do a roasted basil and eggplant for a side dish. Or if you're a vegetarian, you can use it as your main dish. This recipe serves for 4 people. So we take 2 medium eggplants, 1/4 cup of olive oil. Now, olive oil, if you're budgeting, is very expensive, so 1/4 cup of ordinary oil would be great. But please be very careful that you don't use blended oils, that it's a pure oil like a canola oil, as it has a better flavor. Then coarse salt and ground pepper, 1 to 2 tablespoons of red wine vinegar, and 1 cup of torn fresh basil leaves. You heat your oven to 220 degrees Celsius. Eggplants like the heat and they cook really well in very high temperatures. Cut your eggplants into 5-centimeter cubes. For those who've always salted your eggplants and drained them, this recipe doesn't need you to do that. On a baking sheet, you toss your eggplant in the oil and you season it well with salt and pepper, and then you roast it for about 25 minutes until it's brown and it's tender. Take it out while it's still warm. Toss in the eggplant. Dust the eggplant in red wine vinegar and basil leaves. And that is a great side dish. When you're looking at herbs and you want to use, it asks for fresh herbs, but you don't have fresh herbs because you don't use them often enough and they go off and, you know, that's what's happening. You can actually substitute with dried herbs. There's a slight difference when you're using dried to fresh, how you use them. So if you've been asked for 15 mils of fresh herbs, you use 5 mils of dried. Now, one of the things with herbs is you usually add them to the end of your cooking. But if you are going to use dried herbs, then it's preferable to add them at the beginning of the cooking so that the liquid can rehydrate your herbs and make it fresh. And that would add. Now, herbs are great in stews, soups, casseroles, and herb mixes make a huge difference to your food. One of the most common ones is something called a bouquet garni. This is a basic recipe with bay leaves, thyme, and parsley. And you can use a combination of other herbs to add flavor to the bouquet garni, depending on what you're cooking. The most common ones are things like marjoram, rosemary, pepper. Then there's a herb called savory, which I've never seen or tasted. It's a French herb that they use quite often. Tarragon is another one to add to your bouquet garni. And then you can, you know, if you're making your own, try some dried orange peel, some celeriac, a bit of carrot, some celery, some onion, and leeks. And the leeks can actually be used as your packaging, so you can put your herbs inside the leek, tie it with string, and use that to cook with. The next mixed herb is something called Herbe de Provence. This is, once again, savory. Like I said, it's a French herb. You could probably find a substitute for that. Something like with a lemon, sort of a lemony flavor to work on that. Then oregano, rosemary, and thyme. Once again, these are all French herbs. An Italian herb blend, on the other hand, is oregano, basil, thyme, and rosemary. And once again, we go back to French, and this is a Parisian herb blend, which is slightly different and has a is a much better dish for herb blend for specifically chicken and fish. French tarragon, chervil, basil, and the chervil is kind of like a parsley, dill, chives, and white pepper. And my last herb blend that I found that works really nice is oregano, marjoram, dill, spearmint, garlic, lemon peel, black pepper, and ground cassia, or it's called Chinese cinnamon, if you've ever heard of it. The ground cassia is a little bit more difficult to find, but if you go into Chinatown in Seraldine, you'll find it there. And then red wine vinegar and lemon juice. Those are the herbs that, I've come across and that are very popular, to use and, you know, make things different. So a thing with storing herbs, and this is something I've learned, is if you chop them up and you do them in some oil, you put them in a little bit of oil and freeze them in the ice cubes, the oil solidifies enough to store them properly and then, will soften them up when you cook, and you can use them to fry the oil with. So that's the main thing. Okay. And now I went and researched for my show the latest food trends, and it came out quite interesting. So the first food trend I'm looking at is specifically the herbs. Some of the herbs I've mentioned already that we've done, but I've never tasted because I've never seen them here. So I would say that you would have to look for things that would be great substitutes. So the first herb which I have had is chervil, and it's also known as French parsley. Now, if we don't have ordinary parsley does work, but it's the flat leaf parsley, not the curly leaf. Then a herb called lavage, whose flavor is apparently a combination of celery and parsley. I've never tasted it, but I would assume that you would be able to use some celery, you know, make yourself almost like a bouquet of celery and parsley together when you're cooking. Lemon balm, which is an odd name for something that tastes more like a mint than it tastes like lemon, is a new one that's being used. And that's a trending thing, and it works really well, apparently, for summer, which is coming up. So in drinks, in salads, in lamb, chicken, and in stuffing. So it apparently is a really, really great one. The lavage is great, though, for soups, stews, salads, and sauces. And then there's a herb I have never heard of called papalo. And this apparently has a very similar flavor to coriander, but is much stronger and also tastes a little of mint and citrus. So I would say if you want a recipe that's using those flavors, get yourself the coriander, some mint leaves, and some citrus zest, lemon or mandarin or orange, any of those. So another thing that's trending is ethnic spices. They're very popular around the world this year. Coriander, also known as cilantro, curry, peri-peri, and harissa. These are the spice of choices and herbs that are being described in the trends. And for those who subscribe to my meal plan service, they will have noticed that during winter, I use coriander and curry a lot, along with ginger, cumin, and chili, because these are all great cold fighters and prevents flu. The other thing I use a lot of is garlic because of this. Okay. Then I decided to carry on looking at what's trending. Okay. And one of the trends is the cuisine of countries. So previously, Brazil apparently was the trend of choice, but now it's called Peruvian food, which is Brazil's neighbor. And one of the dishes that really has made it onto my meal plan, and I'm researching a recipe, which hopefully I'll have one for the next show, is something called ceviche. It is a fish dish, and it suits South Africa perfectly because all the ingredients that I've been able to see on their descriptions are very much available in South Africa, and they won't be expensive either. It's, they want sea bass, but a really good white fish such as hake or kingklip would be perfect. You marinate that in lime juice. Limes are in season at the moment, so also not too expensive. Onions, salt, chilies, and then some herbs and spices. I just have to research the specific spices. They're also using, they serve it with fresh red onions sliced, boiled millies, roasted millie kernels, and sweet potato as a full meal. And to me, that sounds absolutely stunning. So I'm definitely researching all of that. Some of the other herbs that we've heard of but don't really use, one of them is bergamot. Now, bergamot is found in Earl Grey tea. You can use it in salads when you use the young leaves. The older leaves are a little bitter. But bergamot or Earl Grey is a great pick-me-up in the morning. It's great for depression. Coriander, which I've already mentioned that I love, and that is also known as cilantro in other countries. On MasterChef Australia, I've recently been watching, they have been using a lot of fennel. Fennel has a slightly licorice flavor, and it's very popular in soups. They're even using it these days in cakes. I can't say that I would want a licorice-flavored cake, I have to admit. It sounds a little off to me. But they're using it in soups, in fish, in cottage cheese, and like I said, and even in breads. So that would be an interesting addition to your menu. Then garlic. Garlic I use all the time. It's pretty much in everything I cook because it's a great flu fighter. It helps you prevent colds. And if you do get a cold, it helps shorten the duration. It's like a natural sort of antibacterial. It's great for stews. Italian dishes use it all the time. And it's perfect in lamb, in vegetables. I use it with roast beetroot. I pretty much use it in a carrot salad even. Ginger is great, especially in Chinese cooking and in curries. It has a nice kick to it. It's not only good for pickling for your sushi, but it's also good when you mix it to make a cough syrup and to drink as a tea. Horseradish, this is not a Jewish spice or herb. This is an international herb, believe it or not. It's not only used to go along with your gefilte fish. The leaves and can be used in salads to give it a nice bite. And the roots are used when serving all sorts of meat. A horseradish sauce for your roast beef is beautiful. So once again, you know, not us. We didn't invent it. Sage is another one that I really, really like, especially with like as a stuffing or as a soup and even in a salad. I like to fry it in some butter until it's crisp and crumble it over as a garnish. And it's also used, it's great when it's dried. I know what holistic healers use it to help reduce bad negative energy in homes by burning it. And when you burn it, it actually has quite a nice scent to it, so it makes your house smell good too. And then I found some interesting ones. Something called a salad bernay. When I looked it up, it apparently tastes a lot like cucumber. So it's used then obviously great in salads, fruits, and summer meals. So drinks and things like that. And that's it for the herbs. So basil is also, and that's part of the recipe that I will be sharing on Chai's website. Basil is great in something called pesto. That's what we know it best for. So I've got a quick recipe for the basil. It's a healthy recipe and it's not a traditional one. So it's 2 cups of fresh basil, 4 garlic cloves, 30 mils of olive oil, 15 mils of pine nuts, lightly toasted, 5 mils of grated Parmesan cheese. That is optional, especially if you're going to serve it as a meat, with a meat meal. And 30 mils of water. So it's a healthy, budget-conscious pesto than normal. It uses a lot less pine nuts, a lot less Parmesan, and a lot less oil than normal. Put all the ingredients into your food processor or blender and blend for 1 to 2 minutes. And then you can store it in an ice tray, in cubes and use as you need it. It lasts about 7 days in the fridge. If you are going to freeze it, you must leave out the parmesan. It doesn't freeze, you know, it just can go off. And this basil pesto can go perfectly with tomatoes, as well as, like I said, the eggplant recipe that I've given. Marrows, butternut, and spinach do well with this. Your bay leaves. Bay leaves are great in soups, casseroles, fishes, chicken dishes, and obviously available in your bouquet garni to make it delicious. And you can make your own. Okay, and I'll give you that when we get back from the ad break. Choose high FM. To make your own bouquet garni, you take your fresh bay leaf, 2 fresh sprigs of parsley, a sprig each of fresh thyme and marjoram, and you tie it together with string. I have seen it done, and I've done it myself, where you've taken, where I've taken a leek and taken some of the leaves and wrapped the bouquet garni in that, tied it with some string and used that as my, cooking thing, because I don't have muslin lying around. It's an odd thing for me to have. If you're going to do a bouquet garni that you'd like to make at home, you need to use dried herbs, which are easy, and then you tie them in a muslin bag. My preferred method of making bouquet garni is making a trip to the store to buy some. It's not something that I make a lot of, but I do use a lot of it. Okay. And as I said, some of the trends have also been very ethnic spices. So your coriander or curry, your peri-peri and your harissa have been great for that. Spicy foods, especially now it's winter, are perfect for the cold weather. As summer improves, we're going to you look at more like the French parsley and the lemon balm and those kind of things. So those are very important. Now I'm going to look at how to use some of the stuff for Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah for all of us can be quite stressful. Those who are hosting all the meals especially will find this stressful. And it's something we need to start learning how to change and to take into account is when we create our menus for Rosh Hashanah. The cost of food is going up. Kosher food is expensive to start with, and now, because of the petrol prices and our rand-dollar exchange, it keeps going up. And we need to look at that. We need to plan our meals a little better. And we need to think carefully, why are you making such big, elaborate meals? It is possible to make a Yom Tov Ekdeka meal with less courses and less food and still make it something special. And then the simanim that we're supposed to eat, you know, for most people, that also becomes an issue, because serving a pomegranate to your guests at 30 rand a pomegranate can really cost. If I look at my family just without visitors, there's 10 of us, I need at least 5 pomegranates. So, you know, that is like 150 rand for something that nobody really wants. So using your simanim carefully and in your meal planning to use it as part of the meals or as a garnish is going to cut your costs a lot. So when you're serving and when you're deciding, sit down. In the past, I know a lot of people have said, okay, they're doing this chicken dish and that meat dish. My question is, why both? If you have somebody coming as a guest specifically who doesn't eat one or the other, then make a small portion just for them. Everybody else eats chicken. Everybody else eats meat. So have, if you're doing both nights, first night have red meat, your beef or your whatever it is, and second night you're going to do your chicken. It's not necessary to have both. Okay. The other thing is the courses. How many are you having? So soup, salads, main course and dessert. That is more than most people have during the week. So you've already made it more special. But if you really, really need to serve a fish course, then make 2 fish dishes, not 5. You don't need gefilte fish, chopped herring, Danish herring, pickled herring, and all these other things. Choose 2 and make those two so that they're smaller courses. The more courses you're serving, the less people eat of your, and you have a lot more leftovers. So it would be better if you weren't having those leftovers, if you were just, you know, making smaller portions, and then you don't have food wasted. And another thing that we're all doing is cold drinks. At 20 Rand a Coke, not everybody can have that much. So it's important that, you know, if a guest asks, can they do something, can they bring something, ask them to bring a cold drink. If you really need to have cold drinks, then ask them to bring a cold drink. Obviously, if a guest can ask to bring something to a meal, why not ask them if they can, if to bring some a food, whether they make you a salad or a dessert, something that takes the stress off you. And that thing. But if you're not going to have cold drinks, or if cold drinks can't be, you know, you don't have visitors who are going to bring, instead of buying cold drinks, why not make some iced teas? There are some amazing flavors of tea, but there's some easy ways to do it. Bring a pot of rooibos, adding some fresh cut fruit into it, and allowing it to cool down while the fruit absorbs, the flavors absorb into your rooibos tea is a delicious, healthy way to have a thirst quencher that didn't cost you an absolute fortune. Then another thing we need to look at is the lunches. Why are we making these huge lunches? I hear it all the time. I have eaten too much and I've still got to eat supper tonight. Think about yourself as the hostess. Your guests have now come from this big lunch only 4 hours earlier, and they're probably still full because it was meat and it was salad and it was starters and dessert, and now you're about to serve another four-course meal. You're going to have a lot of leftover, especially by the time it comes to second night, because this year we've got Friday night, we've got Shabbos lunch, and then we've got Sunday night and Monday night for Yontov. So we've had one night in between where maybe people didn't eat as much, but they're still like, you know, Shabbos lasts. It keeps you full for a little longer. So it's something to you think of. And making a lighter lunch is a kindness not only to the health of your guests, but to the hostess for the evening. And when you think about it, if you go to shul on Yontov, most shuls have a brocha after the Rosh Hashanah davening. So a lot of your visitors have had something to eat there already. They're going to come to your big elaborate lunch and they're not going to be as hungry. And then they're going to the hostess for supper and they're also not very hungry. So it's an important thing that we understand that when we're making lunches, that they should be light meals. I tend to prefer on Rosh Hashanah, well, on any Yontov, to serve fish as my lunch meal. So my meats and things come for supper, and then I do a fish meal for lunch. It's lighter. Your visitors aren't as full for as long. They tend not to overeat as much. And everybody gets to have their cup of tea afterwards with milk, which makes people happy too. So that's an important thing to remember. And then when your guests come or your guests go to their next meal, they can do justice to the effort that the hostess has put in. So that's an important thing. So today I decided also to add an extra recipe. I spoke about the haken, about having a pesto that's easy to make and healthy. And this one will be on my menu for tomorrow night. And that is a hake and basil pesto stir fry. It's a light fish meal. And actually everybody likes it, including the people in my house who aren't mad about fish. It's quick and easy to make, so it doesn't take long. And it's really, really healthy. So it starts off with 185 mils of rice, which you're going to cook as you would normally. Half a teaspoon of salt, 5 mils of either oil or canola oil, either one, a red, yellow, or green pepper, halved and sliced. Okay. And the reason the different color peppers is a green pepper has a more like bitter taste. It's also the cheapest in the lot. So if you're trying to be budget conscious, that would be a choice. But it uses such a little pepper that buying one yellow pepper or one red pepper would be enough. because this feeds four people. So you can double it and you still only bought one pepper. One large onion halved and sliced. Then 500 grams of hake medallions cut into cubes. So you're buying your frozen fish, you cut it into cubes that are bite-sized and they cook better that way too. Obviously, freshly ground black pepper to taste. And then the basil pesto recipe. So you're cooking your rice as you would normally done in plenty of water. Then you heat oil in a non-stick frying pan and you stir fry your peppers and your onions on high until they just start to go brown. Remove those and put them aside. Put your hake cubes into the frying pan and stir fry on high for another 5 minutes until the pieces are cooked through. By cutting the medallions into smaller pieces, you make the cooking time a lot shorter as well. So this is a dish that can be done quite quickly. You add your black pepper and you continue to stir fry. Be very careful not to cook too long as the fish will then break apart or it becomes rubbery if it's overcooked. You add your once it's finished, add your basil pesto, your onion, your sweet peppers and toss until they're mixed. Reduce your heat and cover the pan. Put it on low for about 3 minutes until it actually forms a little sauce. If you're finding that you're not getting a sauce, add a tiny bit of water to create the sauce. You serve this with rice and any two cooked vegetables or a large salad. So for summer, I would serve the salad, and in winter, I would do the vegetables. I hope this helps you, and I hope you enjoyed the show. And we will speak to you again after Yontif. Have a great one. Thank you and bye.